There are save two churches only. Quote, "And it came to pass that the angel said unto me, Look, and behold that great and abominable church, which is the mother of abominations, whose founder is the devil. And he said unto me, Behold, there are save two churches only. The one is the church of the Lamb of God, and the other is the church of the devil. Wherefore, whoso belongeth not to the church of the Lamb of God, belongeth to that great church, which is the mother of abominations, and she is the whore of all the earth. And it came to pass that I looked and beheld the whore of all the earth, and she sat upon many waters, and she had dominion over all the earth, among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people. And it came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few, because of the wickedness and abominations of the whore who sat upon many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, who were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth, and their dominions upon the face of the earth were small, because of the wickedness of the great whore whom I saw." End quote. Nephi. Quote, "It is natural to man to indulge in the illusions of hope. We are apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth, and to listen to the song of that siren till she transforms us into beasts. Is this the part of wise men engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? Are we disposed to be of the number of those who, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not, the things which so nearly concern their temporal salvation? For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it." End quote. Patrick Henry, March 23rd. Introduction. Quote, "No man can serve two masters. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." End quote. The Lord Jesus Christ. Gray only exists from a distance. The closer one looks, the more one scrutinizes, the easier it is to clearly observe that which is truly white and truly black within every shade of gray. As with all opposites, there is one that exists independent of the other. Darkness is the absence of light. Cold is the absence of heat. Death is the absence of life. Light, heat, and life do not need their opposites to exist, whereas the inverse is true. God's kingdom exists regardless of the devil and his counterfeit. As one endeavors to look closer, the lines of demarcation between the two become astonishingly clear. There is no common ground. One will thereafter be able to discern black and white, where all else see only gray. This book is a compilation of the most critical and pertinent material that I have researched, only a fraction of which is represented within. It is composed with the intention to give the reader an overall concept of that which is intentionally muddled, hidden, and disguised, to assist the reader in developing the ability to discern what groups, individuals, and philosophies are directly geared towards building up the adversary's kingdom. After the events of September the 11th, 2001, the citizens of the United States have been allotted over a decade to continue in a complacent, apathetic state regarding the nefarious machinations of the devil's kingdom. Our time is up. We are about to enter the final phases of Satan's millennial old goals for this earth. The world will soon be plunged into madness and carnage beyond anything precedent in 6,000 years of history. In taking the time to pick up this book, or, I should say, to listen to this audio book I'm recording of this book, I shall assume that the reader, or the listener, is not someone who is, quote, apt to shut one's eyes against a painful truth, end quote, and is a person like Patrick Henry, whose heart is, quote, willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it, end quote. This is the reader I wrote this book for. Intended audience. This book is primarily addressed to members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, i.e., LDS Church for short, whose members are often referred to as Mormons. However, all who count themselves as devoted followers of Jesus Christ, and their greatest desire is to be considered by God as one of His elect, will benefit from reading this. It is presumed that the reader has, at minimum, a foundational understanding of the doctrine of the LDS Church. It is also presumed that the reader has a general knowledge of not only the Bible, but also a general understanding of the content of the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. Purpose. This book has been written for the purpose of glorifying Almighty God and His Son Jesus Christ, specifically in exposing to the reader their earthly enemies, who are also our enemies, the only true enemies any of us actually have. It has also been written so that the reader may be able to see clearly the all-pervasive lies and deceptions we accept as real life each and every day. This book is also intended to assist the reader in following the prophet Moroni's forthright warning in the Book of Mormon, which he writes in Ether chapter 8, quote, "Wherefore, O ye Gentiles, it is wisdom in God that these things, i.e., the origins of the secret society of the ancient Jaredites that Moroni discussed previous to this, should be shown unto you, that thereby ye may repent of your sins, and suffer not that these murderous combinations shall get above you. The Lord commandeth you, when ye shall see these things come among you, that ye shall awake to a sense of your awful situation, because of this secret combination which shall be among you." End quote. We are entering the final stages of this earth's telestial existence. Events are about to occur that are both biblically and historically unprecedented. We are who professed believers of Jesus Christ are in profound danger, and many, if not most, of us will lose our lives should we refuse to deny our testimonies of Him. Far too many of us are blinded by deception, unable to identify who our true enemies in this world are, and we end up placing our trust in serpents and wolves in sheep's clothing. The intention of this book is to assist the reader in breaking through such deceptions into a full awakening of the all-pervasive influence of modern secret combinations. Disclaimer: this is not an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, henceforward referred to as the LDS Church or The Church. The opinions and views expressed herein belong solely to the author. It is neither to be assumed nor implied that everything contained within is definitive doctrine of the LDS Church. The contents of this book represent the author's personal understandings of LDS doctrine and of other matters addressed herein, which have been arrived at through personal study and prayer. The author alone should be blamed if there is any content that turns out to be doctrinally incorrect. I, the author, am willing to make such corrections in future editions of this book as they are brought to my attention. Format of this book. This book is meant to be read in linear fashion, from beginning to end. It is composed in a manner which represents a variety of evidences which build upon each other, as the scriptures say, quote, "precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little," unquote. It is meant to be read in conjunction with viewing and absorbing the supporting material that is referenced throughout the text. The reader's, quote, "eyes of understanding," unquote, will be gradually opened piecemeal in order to grasp the worldwide picture of the spiritual and temporal forces that constitute the kingdom of the devil, while simultaneously gaining a greater comprehension and a far greater appreciation of the immensity and grandeur of the kingdom of God. In addition to quoting from canonized scriptures, the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price, and other general authorities and scholars, I also quote extensively from authoritative sources of those, quote, in the know, unquote, of the devil's kingdom, those who are revered and celebrated throughout the arcane world, because their lectures, writings, confessions, and admissions vindicate the warnings and teachings of the Lord's chosen prophets. In many ways, this book is a compendium of evidence from the dark side. To assist in developing one's discernment, eyes that see and ears that hear, not only of the hidden works of darkness, but also the Lord's hand and patience and long-suffering in all things. Quote, the things of God are of deep import, and time and experience and careful and ponderous and solemn thoughts can only find them out. Thy mind, O man, must stretch as high as the utmost heavens, and search into and contemplate the darkest abyss and the broad expanse of eternity. Thou must commune with God. End quote. Joseph Smith. Most of the chapters in this book are composed in the following way. A topic or concept is introduced and briefly expounded upon, followed by extensive quoted evidence, verified writings of authoritative sources or testimony of whistleblowers or victims, or transcripts of audio or video recordings, followed by or interjected with additional commentary by the author. At times it may seem as though I am quoting material at great length, which could be shortened and summarized while being equally effective. However, I pray the reader be patient and absorb it all linearly as presented, for many parts which may seem needlessly elaborate or unconnected early on will prove to carry greater meaning and come together in later chapters. As you read, please maintain an awareness that out of hundreds of sources and volumes of information and years of extensive research, the most potent, direct, and critical evidence and information was filtered to be included within this book, then compiled in a manner that the reader can comprehend its implications rapidly. For every topic, testimony, and evidence touched upon in this book, there is a great deal more material available that collaborates. A sober warning. I must warn the reader that this book is dangerous. Why? Because after one reads this book cover to cover, one will no longer be able to claim ignorance. The reader will have a direct, transparent, unobstructed understanding of the source of all evil being perpetrated on the world. The Lord God Almighty will not hold one guiltless if one dismisses the evidence within this book. Is that too audacious of a statement? I declare to the reader that God, through the power and guidance of His Holy Spirit, has encouraged and guided me in writing and compiling this information. I pray that readers are willing to alter their perceptions, opinions, and convictions of real life that do not currently line up with the evidences and testimonies presented in this book, to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to fully awake them to an understanding of the powers and machinations of Lucifer in this world. Quote, write the works of this people, which shall be, even as hath been written, of that which hath been. For behold, out of the books which have been written, and which shall be written, shall this people be judged. For by them shall their works be known unto men. Unquote. Footnote 7. This book provides the reader a significant understanding about the hidden portions of Lucifer's kingdom, how it originated, how it works, who is involved, how to identify them, the machinations they have perpetrated in the past, as well as the frauds and atrocities they are currently committing and planning for the near future. Everything within is potent information. Though extensive, nothing is arbitrary or frivolous. Simply by knowing these things, one will become a threat and a danger to Lucifer's kingdom. Therefore, he may cause one to receive occasional spiritual attacks. I myself have personally experienced such things in the following manners: irrational bouts of fear, depression, paranoia, and or confusion and disquiet in the mind. Other times I have felt a menacing, malevolent presence in my vicinity, or a suffocating, paralyzing pressure enveloping my entire body. However, as the Lord Jesus Christ reassures, "Fear not, ask and ye shall receive." Patient, faithful prayer and supplication never fails to eventually dispel such intimidation tactics. As is to be expected, some of the content and subject matter of this book are, by their nature, disturbing. It would not be appropriate for minors to read this book, at least not without a guardian's assistance or approval. Aren't we supposed to seek light and shun darkness? Quote, "Therefore, that we should waste and wear out our lives in bringing to light all the hidden things of darkness, wherein we know them, and they are truly manifest from heaven. These should then be attended to with great earnestness. Let no man count them as small things, for there is much which lieth in futurity pertaining to the saints, which depend upon these things." End quote. Joseph Smith. The futurity that Joseph Smith mentions is today. On April 6, 1972, then Apostle Ezra Taft Benson stated the following in General Conference in his talk called Civic Standards of the Faithful Saints. Quote, "Joseph Smith said that the Book of Mormon was the keystone of our religion and the most correct book on earth. This most correct book on earth states that the downfall of two great American civilizations came as a result of secret conspiracies whose desire was to overthrow the freedom of the people. Quote, "And they have caused the destruction of this people of whom I am now speaking," unquote, says Moroni. Quote, "And also the destruction of the people of Nephi," end quote. Now, undoubtedly, Moroni could have pointed out many factors that led to the destruction of the people. But notice how he singled out the secret combinations, just as the church today could point out many threats to peace, prosperity, and the spread of God's work, but it has singled out the greatest threat as the Great Conspiracy. There is no conspiracy theory in the Book of Mormon. It is a conspiracy fact. And along this line, I would highly recommend to you a new book entitled None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Gary Allen. Then Moroni speaks to us in this day and says, quote, "Wherefore, the Lord commandeth you, when ye shall see these things come among you, that ye shall awake to a sense of your awful situation, because of this secret combination which shall be among you," end quote. The Book of Mormon further warns that, quote, "Whatsoever nation shall uphold such secret combinations to get power and gain, until they shall spread over the nation, behold, they shall be destroyed," end quote. This scripture should alert us to what is ahead unless we repent, because there is no question but that as people of the free world, we are increasingly upholding many of the evils of the adversary today. Now, we are assured that the church will remain on the earth until the Lord comes again. But at what price? President Clark warned us that, quote, "We stand in danger of losing our liberties, and that once lost, only blood will bring them back. And once lost, we of this church will, in order to keep the church going forward, have more sacrifices to make and more persecutions to endure than we have yet known," end quote. And he stated that if the conspiracy, quote, "comes here, it will probably come in its full vigor and there will be a lot of vacant places among those who guide and direct not only this government, but also this church of ours, end quote. Also, end quote, Ezra Benson's conference talk. Consider the extreme weight of the matter of preserving liberty, especially in what Benson quotes from Apostle J. Reuben Clark. Put simply, secret combinations, societies, are the source of conspiracy. Conspiracy is the primary source of the erosion of public liberty, and liberty lost requires blood to regain. In another speech given at Temple Square in 1966, he stressed the following, quote, "It is imperative that American citizens become alerted and informed regarding the threat to our welfare, happiness, and freedom. No American is worthy of citizenship in this great land who refuses to take an active interest in these important matters. All we hold dear as a great Christian nation is at stake. One of our most serious problems is the inferiority complex which people feel when they are not informed and unorganized. They dare not make a decision on these vital issues. They let other people think for them. They stumble around in the middle of the road trying to avoid being controversial and get hit by traffic going both ways. To the patriots, I say this. Take that long, eternal look. Stand up for freedom, no matter what the cost. It can help to save your soul and maybe your country. The days ahead are sobering and challenging and will demand the faith, prayers, and loyalty of every American. May God give us the wisdom to recognize the dangers of complacency, the threat to our freedom, and the strength to meet this danger courageously." End quote. The warnings of then-Apostle Ezra Benson, who later became president of the church, as well as those he quotes from Apostle J. Reuben Clark, ought to send chills down the spines of every Latter-day Saint today, especially those who are American citizens, who ought to take notice that our liberties and freedoms are being trampled on right before our eyes. Since the events that occurred on 9/11/2001, there has been alarming legislation passed that nullifies constitutional and other protections U.S. citizens have taken for granted. The Patriot Act, NSPD 51, and NDAA are just a few examples. Along with the increasing power and unaccountability to the public of federal agencies such as the TSA and the NSA. However, there's something else that demands our attention. President Benson did something unprecedented in his 1972 conference talk that has never been done before nor since in any general conference, to the best of my knowledge. He recommended a book written by a non-LDS to the entire membership of the church. How was this recommendation received? How many LDS do you know that ran out after this conference and bought a copy of Gary Allen's None Dare Call It Conspiracy? How many LDS do you know who own a copy? How many do you know who have read it? How many LDS do you know who have even heard of this book? Have you heard of it? Read it? Own a copy of it? If one looks at the transcript of President Benson's talk on LDS.org, or anywhere else for that matter, this sentence he utters, quote, "And along this line, I would highly recommend to you a new book entitled None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Gary Allen," end quote, is not there. Footnote 10. If one views the conference video of April 6, 1972, included in the supporting material, he or she will see and hear him say it, just as the vast majority of LDS members who watched or listened to conference witnessed him say it and did not act upon it. The Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear that part of being a stalwart saint worthy of his kingdom includes developing a keen discernment between what is truly of him and what is of Lucifer. Ignorance of how the adversary works in this world and the manner in which he subtly crafts profound evil to appear as benign or even benevolent is not a virtue. It is a crippling handicap. Quote, "Therefore, be ye as wise as serpents, and yet without sin." End quote. Jesus Christ, Doctrine and Covenants, 1:11, verse 11. Quote, "I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves." End quote. Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. It is our personal duty to discern wolves and serpents. Exposing the roots of the kingdom of the devil causes it to be ineffectual, because it can no longer deceive. Being thus awake, one is unable to be fooled, manipulated, or swayed ever again by the rhetoric, mimicking, and deceptions of Satan's followers. Additionally, along with one's burning testimony that Jesus is the Christ, and one's testimony that the Bible and the Book of Mormon are the Word of God via His chosen prophets, one will have a burning desire to empower others to wake up to knowledge that will powerfully aid their ability to discern true good from true evil. If we are to believe the Book of Mormon, if we wish to honor Moroni's warning, we believing Gentiles of these final days need to understand that we have been commanded to look, recognize, and fully wake up to the agenda and identity of the members of secret combinations and their hidden works. It is not enough to dismiss these matters along lines of, sure, there's corruption happening somewhere, by somebody, and that's a bummer. We must first humble ourselves by admitting that we truly don't know exactly what and who Moroni is warning us about. Then we must desire to know. Once we take our own initiative to develop discernment, the Lord will guide us to understand and identify who is involved, what is being planned and enacted, why these things are being done, the agenda and motives, how it is being accomplished or will be, how their agenda affects us, and also how everyone, and I mean everyone, is inadvertently assisting them, whether we acknowledge it or not. It is folly for church members to assume that the LDS general authorities are required to lay all this out for us, to expose and declare everything plainly to us, say, during General Conference. We have the Book of Mormon. We have their prophetic warnings already. To expect anything more from them is equivalent to seeking to place our personal responsibility upon their shoulders. Should LDS members, even a vast majority of them, be deceived by wolves in sheep clothing, whether in government or even within the church, as J. Reuben Clark strongly implies both, they cannot expect to be clued into the deception by the leaders of the church. There are some excellent books by LDS authors that expound upon some of the more historical and political manifestations of matters of conspiracy and deception that I present in this book. Some of those which I highly recommend include W. Cleon Skousen's The Naked Communist and another work called The Naked Capitalist, H. Verlin Anderson's The Great and Abominable Church of the Devil, Ken Bowers' Hiding in Plain Sight, Unmasking How Secret Combinations Operate in the Last Days, Christopher S. Bentley's The Hidden Things of Darkness, An Exposé of the Enemies of Christ. Most enthusiastic of all, Jack Monet's Awakening to Our Awful Situation, Warnings from the Nephite Prophets, both books 1 and 2. If the reader has read one or more of these books, then he or she already has a considerable understanding. However, this work pierces straight to the heart of the devil's kingdom by exposing and expounding upon, straight from the horse's mouth, evidence. It is well worth one's time to read this book cover to cover, even if one has read each of these others. Lastly, this book and the including supporting material are composed in a way that is conducive to the Holy Spirit being present and able to witness to the reader the truth of the contents. Recall that there is much disturbing information in the Book of Mormon, especially the letters that Moroni transcribes from his father, which describe in detail the horrendous carnage perpetrated on their people, and even worse, atrocities committed by their own people. When presented appropriately, the Holy Spirit is not offended by disturbing truths and will testify of the veracity of such, no matter how disheartening those truths may be. Text and supporting material devoid of sensationalistic content. Because my intention is to expose only the most pertinent matters of the hidden things of darkness, I intentionally did not include many images in the text. In the supporting material, I also did not include content that would be considered sensationalistic or geared towards fear-mongering. I especially avoid extensive exploration into occult symbols or imagery. Truly, there is no need to, for dwelling on such unnecessarily only tends to offend the Holy Spirit. I touch upon such only where prudent and focus on exposing key Luciferian connections, workings, and dealings. Some graphic content is included in the text and supporting material, strictly for testimony and evidence purposes, but it is preceded with warnings to notify the reader and viewer. Only fools mock. Quote, "Fools mock, but they shall mourn, and my grace is sufficient for the meek. For if men humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them." End quote. The Lord Jesus Christ to Moroni. Quote, "There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all argument, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. This principle is contempt prior to examination." End quote. Attributed to William Paley. Please take an honest assessment of the following: the emotions one is experiencing, the preconceived notions going through one's mind, one's expectations of the contents of this book, assumptions of what one will already agree or disagree with. Now, please analyze. Are you feeling a level of contempt, derision, indignity, condescension? Are you mentally gearing up to deride, disprove, rebut, dismiss, or possibly even mock what's written here? Believing LDS members regularly pray that unbelievers will open their hearts when investigating the LDS Church and pondering the Book of Mormon. Please exercise a similar level of openness and contrition as one would hope from investigators. For that is exactly what one is, an investigator to discovering the hidden works of darkness that have been brought to light. If what is written in this book is true, it will resonate as much as the Book of Mormon resonates to those that pray and permit new information to come into their lives through the Holy Spirit. Quote, "Moroni warned us that the secret combinations begun by Gadianton are had among all people. You who are young will see many things that will try your courage and test your faith. All of the mocking does not come from outside of the church. Let me say that again. All of the mocking does not come from outside of the church. Be careful that you do not fall into the category of mocking." End quote. Apostle Boyd K. Packer. Do not scoff nor mock anyone or anything ever again. Cease to place trust in others who mock. End of introduction. Footnotes. 1. 1 Nephi, chapter 14, verses 9 through 12, the Book of Mormon. 2. Give me liberty or give me death speech. 3. Matthew chapter 6, 24. Luke 16, verse 13. Also 3 Nephi, chapter 13, verse 24. 4. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. 5. Doctrine and Covenants, 110, verse 1. 6. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 137. 7. 3 Nephi, chapter 27, verses 24 and 25. 8. Doctrine and Covenants, 123, verses 13 through 15. 9. Ezra Taft Benson, Stand Up for Freedom. Speech delivered to the Utah Forum for the American Idea at the Assembly Hall at Temple Square, February 11, 1966. 10. An explanation as to why this phrase does not appear in the transcript is provided by the website mormonchronicle.com at http://www.mormonchronicle.com/the-editing-of-n-apostle/ as follows. Quote, Was Elder Benson reprimanded and forced to change the text of his talk, as some have suggested? The change in the official record of this talk, and what was really behind it, has been the subject of much speculation, and has been of concern to many people ever since the official record of the talk was released by the church. Some even wrote to Elder Benson asking him what happened. Thankfully, some of those people saved the response they received from Elder Benson. And the reason isn't nearly as sinister as some have claimed. No, he wasn't reprimanded and forced to change his talk. And no, there weren't some dark forces at the church office building trying to silence the words of an apostle. In one of the letters he wrote concerning the subject, he said, quote, When I learned that we had representatives from behind the Iron Curtain at our conference, where we have over 5,000 members, I made a few minor changes in my talk of my own volition. Our Ensign magazine has worldwide distribution, and it seemed the part of wisdom to make a very limited number of minor changes. I continue to encourage people to read None Dare Call It Conspiracy, end quote from President Benson, and end quote from the quote from MormonChronicle.com. Footnote 11. Refer to the video file in the supporting material, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. 12. Refer to Book of Moroni, Chapter 9, in the Book of Mormon. 13. Ether, Chapter 12, verses 26 and 27. 14. BYU Devotional, January 16, 2007.